say to me, restoration. Say with me, take over. Say with me, payback time. I want to let you listen to this word. Put me on chapter number 30, verse 1 Samuel, chapter number 30, verse number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 30, verse number 1 on the screen. I know this word is going to bless you. Some of you might have heard it before a little bit or so, but I know this word is going to bless you. I want you to take it. Say with me, revelation. And say with me, I receive. I want you to receive this word. How do you receive it? By responding, by opening up your spirit, opening up your heart. Whatever is prophesied. Listen, if I prophesy over somebody's life, you can take that word for yourself. If I prophesy into the atmosphere, it is for everybody that is here. Are you guys with me? If we speak and I minister prophetically, which means that this is prophetically going to apply to your life. Listen to this. And it came to pass that when David and his men, his warriors that was around him, came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burnt it down with fire. Just stay there for me. Only go when I tell you to go. Okay, go back for me. So it says that it burnt Ziklag and it burnt it with fire. Ziklag. It says when David came back to his hometown where his wives, his family was, his children was, it says that if they found out as they came back from war that the whole city, Ziklag, has been burnt down and actually their family has been taken captive. Go for me to the next verse. It says, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Go for it to the next verse. So David and his men came to the city of Ziklag, and there it was, burnt down with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Go for it to the next verse. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Just stay there for me. Until they had no more power to weep. Go with me to the next verse. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the woman, however you pronounce that, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelites, had been taken captive. So it just says basically all their wives and their children taken captive. Next verse. Now David was greatly distressed. Everybody say with me, greatly distressed. Say with me again, say greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him. Because now all the warriors around him was upset. They wanted to kill him because their families was taken captive. Their families was taken into bondage. Their city was burned down. They just came back from battle. David is the leader and they are upset with David. And they are speaking of stoning him. And David was greatly distressed. And because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But everybody say with me, say again, say greatly distressed. Listen to me, there's a moment and a season in our time in our lives which is called the Ziklag moment. Are you guys with me? I hear this with the Lord saying to me even this afternoon as I was praying and as I was thinking about tonight's service, just preparing my spirit, that it is time to get out of Ziklag. It is time to get out of your place of discouragement, out of your place of depression, out of your place of distress. Ziklag is over from this night on forward. Because you're going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Because it is time for warfare and the anointing of war is going to come down. Listen to me. A church that does not operate in warfare, that does not understand the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Or let me even just go as far as saying this. A church that does not operate in the Spirit has no effect in the realm of the Spirit. A church that does not operate in the Spirit has no effect in the realm of the Spirit. It does nothing. It is a charity. Are you guys with me? But the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 12, that the kingdom of God has suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Say it again with me. Say, the violent take it by force, which means that there is a violence to this Christianity that we are in. It requires our spirits to become a violent spirit. I'm not speaking of a carnal violence. I'm speaking of a spiritually violent. Are you guys with me? Understanding that right now there is a battle going on for your soul. Understanding that right now there's a battle going on for your family. There's a battle going on for your children. There's a battle going on for the city. But when we understand that the enemy wants to take us out, that we understand that we need and God requires us to be violent in our spirits. It is becoming a listen. God is looking for a violent, aggressive, desperate, passionate people. A violent people say, "I'm going to hold on to God and keep Him out of the heavens like Jacob did." And keep wrestling with Him right through the night. Even that God says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go." And he's being rebellious towards God and disobedient. But there was a violent spirit on the inside of him. And God says, "Because you did this, now I will change your name from Jacob to Israel." Any person sitting under the sound of my voice, if you are looking to go into the promise of God for your life, it's going to require having a violent tenacity towards the works of the enemy and saying, "I am not going to give up. I am not going to give up. I am not going to never," say with me, "never give up." Who was it? What was that guy's name from the World War? What was the guy in the World War? No. Huh? No. The good guy. Anyway, I don't know. But he said, "Never give up, never give up, never give up." Who was it? Yes, Winston Churchill. Amen. And he said, "Never give up, never give up, never give up." And he fought one of the greatest wars in his pajamas in his room. Amen. That's how you do it. So, listen. Get Ziklag. I heard the Spirit saying to me, Ziklag is over, but it's going to require a violent tenacity from God's people to say, "I'm going to take it by force." You know, we just started as our second week in the church here, and God has really blessed us, and it's at the heaven. But it's going to take a violent people in this church to understand the vision, to understand the DNA and their purpose, and for them to open, for us to open the heavens together. The band has only been playing a month now, and they're not doing too bad. I know they're not too good, but they're not too bad. Okay, I'm giving them a opportunity so that they can grow. Otherwise, they're never going to grow. And in this ministry, we believe in equipping people and so on. But are they doing okay for you guys doing worship or not? Only a month. Well, he's been only playing. Okay. He's good. He's been playing for long, but he's been playing a month. He's been playing less than a month. Alan has one of the best voices also in South Africa. But, I mean, people offered him money, like a lot of money, big churches. And he said, "No, I want to come and serve by encounter." Amen. So God will honor that. And God will bless that. So he's helping also with the band and so on to get them on the right track. And it's going to take. So I want to ask you as a church, you know, be patient. Don't be full of nonsense. Be patient, you know. I love and understand that as we are patient with the band and with me and et cetera and everything, we're going to grow together into a place. We teach in the mornings, very good stuff. We will teach you very good stuff in the morning that you're not going to get anywhere else. I'll teach you dimensions of visions. I'll teach you how to know the perfect will of God. I'll speak with you. I'll speak to you about, listen, we'll teach you very, very good stuff. And I'll speak to you about loyalty and rebellion and really stuff that people need to hear that will make them grow. But we need to understand that for us in Centurion, and why I'm starting like this is because I'm a revivalist, so a lot of people come into our services, and I know there's some that has come here that expects a certain type of style, which is happening tonight a little bit, but I also toned down because it's now planning a church, okay? So I need to take people from where we at and grow together, because if I just come up from here and I come out and I just tell you, I just saw an angel and this angel said this, and I told you that tonight the angel was standing there as we were worshiping, oh, the glory of his presence. I mean, people are going to think, "Oh, I'm weird," or this or that, okay? So I live in that realm. It's called Rayon. It's Azon Mara. Different levels of visions. That is a Hazon vision that I have, and Labroske to Endes. And so. But it's going to require a people in unity. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Now, when the angel of the Lord spoke to me personally and said to me, "Plant a church now. Now is the time to plant a church in Centurion." That means that God has a divine purpose and plan for this region. I don't care how small people think we are right now, but we're only 2 weeks old. But I want to tell you that every principality and power and ruler of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places is coming down to this city. And those who are going to be a partaker of this vision, you're going to be blessed, but you're going to be equipped with the full armor of God. You're going to see blessings in your family. But I want to tell you, Ziklag is over. The time of distressing is over. Say with me, no stress. That's how you do it. Amen. Nice, no stress. Just Ziklag is the place of stress. It's the place of anxiety. That when you come into the kingdom of God, that is over. It's done. When you understand God's grace and how God works towards us. But let me carry on reading here. So it's going to take us as unity to break open the heavens. I know that a portal will be opening over this place in Centurion. And many of you will encounter. Listen, if you come in part of our ministry and you get connected with me in my heart, you will have dreams and you will have visions. And that is the and finances. That's the anointing that I carry on my life in terms of, okay, and then many other people could activate in miracles, like Stefan can pray for healing that I can't pray for healing. And, you know, and I have the gift of miracles. He's got the gift of healing on his life, so he can pray for people for healing. So when I ask him to pray, it's because he's got that gift. Are you guys with me? Many people sitting here has gifts. It's time to activate them. It's time to become part of a vision and a church and say that I want to grow and I want to activate the gifts that I have. In this church, we have a model that we start on a Saturday, two Saturdays. From there on January, we start in School of Discipleship properly. That's where you can become leaders. From there, we'll have School of Intercession and many stuff, you know. And then we'll go into, but that's for those who would want to be there. And then you become a leader. As a leader, as you plant home cells, you become a what we call a captain. Over there, you'll be, and then over many captains, there'll be a school for captains. And there, we'll share secrets with you. Really, really, that's not for everybody. That'll bring maturity and growth to your spirit. And I've planted many home cells. This is not me trying trying something out. I know what I'm doing in this area. But I also want to encourage you. We didn't tell you in the home announcement. Get into a home cell. There's the leaders. Everybody will be there by the coffee afterwards, and we'll still put the leaders up, the cell leaders, and the cells are growing. We had 58 people in home cells in our first week. Amen. So that's very good. And if you want to get into a home cell, get into a home cell. That's where you're trained up and you grow. You really grow. Without a home cell, we only partake of half of the church. We need to be in church and in a home cell and then go through training. So, but everybody said, they say, my Ziklag is over. Amen. Let me go carry on reading. So it says this. So it says, David strengthened. The other translation, the King James, I love it. I say, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Nobody was with him, but David had to go on his own, which he trained, and he began to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Go through the next verse. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest of Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now, I'm not going to even get into the ephod because you will backslide. Get me to verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Many of you are saying, "This I'm in a Ziklag moment of my life. Shall I go on? Shall I pursue the enemy? Shall I go forward or shall I give up?" And he says, shall I overtake them? And God answered him. Say with me, pursue. For you shall surely say with me, overtake them. And say with me, without fail. I want that to get into your spirit. Say, without fail. Recover all, which means God said to David, David, you're in the darkest place of your life. This was one of the darkest moments of David's soul. One of them, he was on his own. His whole family was taken kidnapped. His city was burned down and his own men turned against him, trying to kill him. And he began to strengthen and talk to God within himself. And he said, God, what must I do? Must I go and take on the enemy? What must I do? And God said to him three words, pursue, overtake and recover all. But God added a little sentence into that which I love. He says, listen here, I will cause you, David, to pursue. I will cause you to overtake. And then without fail, say with me, without fail. Where I live, there is no failure. Listen here, Your failure is not your failure. Are you guys with me? When you have failed, it is just a way that you know that you shouldn't do it that way, and you do another way. People that haven't failed haven't achieved anything. So there is no failure. And God is saying, listen, they pursue, overtake, and without fail, no failure, you will recover all. But now let me just get to the word pursue, because God said to him, listen, David, I want you to pursue the enemy. The word pursue means to irritate. Say with me, irritate. It means to provoke. Which means that God is saying, listen, David, I want you to go pursue. I want you to irritate the enemy. When I read it, I was thinking of the drug days that we were in. And when you smoke weed, you smoke weed. Who said that smoking weed? You smoke weed, whatever. And Marco came high to our services and whatever. So and now he's delivered. And but I remember we used to do this. When you're like heavy like out of it, and the person will just go like this, you know. And I mean, you feel like you want to kill the person. But we were irritating, prodding, provoking the person. Amen? And I was thinking of it like this. And God says to David, listen, David, I want you to pursue, to irritate, to provoke the enemy. There's an anointing that's going to fall in this place tonight. And we're going to lay hands on you. An anointing to irritate and provoke the enemy. And listen, I then want you to overtake. Say with me, overtake. The word overtake, I'm just looking for something here, just 1 second. I want to get this through to you, because this is the anointing that's going to fall tonight. Say with me, take over. Overtake. It's time to have, listen to me, it's time to have dominion. Let me just look for something here. Where is this now? I'm just looking for something, just 1 second. Zero, zero. But God says, not only overtake, He says you will surely overtake. It says that you will surely overtake. Are you guys with me? The Hebrew word is nasach. It means this, the ability to be able to attain, to reach out, to take a hold of, and it means to suddenly come upon something with surprise. And it means to take over. It's the anointing to take over. It's the nasach anointing, if I can say it like that. To take over, to remove something that is not supposed to be there, to obtain and take a hold of something God has for you, to overtake. Whether it is business, whether it is in your job or in your school, the kingdom of God has the anointing to overtake. Are you guys with me? Wherever you are at, God is saying, listen, I've called you, made you in my image and my likeness, and you shall rule and reign and have dominion, which means that every place where your foot shall tread, I will give it to you. May the anointing of Nasach, the anointing to overtake, come upon your life. Listen to me, I'm not preaching. When I say these words, the anointing is available in the atmosphere. Some people just said, if you're unsaved, that's okay. Okay, because you're checking me out. No, really, unsaved people don't really care. They like the stuff. It's the religious that will just sit and just, my dominee het nie hierdie gesê nie. Ja, dit is my traditie, my cultuur. Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, the power, the word of God has been made to no effect, nullified of power because of your traditions. If there's, listen, this word is higher than God. Mess up your theology right there, okay? There's something where God comes out of. I'm not going to get into that. Maybe like in a many years' time. The Bible says that God exalts His word above His name, which means that He submits to His word. But now there's another thing that has the power over this word. One thing in Scripture, tradition. Which means that tradition is the most evil force. That's why Jesus, where the people were familiar with Him, when they knew Him as the carpenter's little boy, Joseph, the carpenter's little boy, when he went to his hometown, the Bible says he could not do no great miracles, which means that he tried and he couldn't. Are you guys with me? And he just laid his hands on some and healed some and he left. God in the flesh. Now, if God in the flesh, because of tradition and familiarity, couldn't do miracles, there's one thing that is stronger than the Word of God that has the ability to destroy. Even God Himself in the flesh couldn't do no great miracle. Traditions of men. Mark chapter number 7, verse number 13 says, because of your traditions, the Word of God has been made to no effect, null and void, has no power in your life. That we have to get tradition out of us. We have to get culture out of us. Come on, are you guys with me? That is how we get hungry for God, when I lose my reputation. But listen, so God says, I want you to pursue. I want you to overtake. And then I want you without fail. Say with me, without fail. No failure. Surely recover all. The word recover all. It means to receive back more than what you've had. Now let me go to another scripture for you. And when I preach you on a Sunday night, I don't prepare a message. I just sit at home and write my notes. This is a note I found in my Bible, by the way. This is I don't write a note. I come and the Holy Ghost will tell me, preach this, and I'll preach that. And he reminds me. And that is how I work. So Proverbs 6 verse 31 says this. But Proverbs 6 verse 31. Go for there. Proverbs 6 verse 31. It says, yet when he is in context of a thief that has stolen stuff, you go to the next previous verse, but just stay on this. Yet when he, when the thief is found out, he must restore sevenfold, and he will give you up all the substance of his house. Which means that when the thief is caught out, he must repay you back seven times, sevenfold, more than what he has taken. Which means I'm standing on the word of God, where the enemy has stolen 500,000 rand from me at one place, and the enemy has stolen other things from me and taken certain things from me. I'm standing on a word, and I know God's word, and the enemy knows God's word, that I say that I understand when the thief is found out, he must repay back sevenfold. But I'm here to tell you, listen to me. The thief has been found out over 2,000 years ago upon the cross. When Jesus died upon the cross, the Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. He was rejected, he was bruised, he was beaten, and for everything and all our healing, all our sicknesses, it was taken upon him. All our sins was taken upon him upon that cross. And he took that down to the pit of hell. 3 days in the middle of the earth, if I can say it like this, he was there. And he made a public spectacle of the enemy, which means that the Bible says in Colossians, he made a public spectacle of principalities and powers, which means that he took the devil and he made him, he stripped him. The Bible said public spectacle means that he stripped him naked of every rank and file. So if the enemy had rank and file authority, he stripped him naked of those things. He took off his clothes and made him walk and parade naked up and down in front of his demons. That's what Jesus did, the sinless lamb. Listen to me. He died as the sinless lamb, but he arose as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he arose from the end. He took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he gave it to the church, to you and I, to take authority in regions, to take authority in cities, and to advance the kingdom of heaven, and to advance the kingdom of God. I prophesy that your Ziklag is over. Pursue, overtake, and recover all that has been lost from you. Everything that has been taken from you. Say, payback time. Say, sevenfold. I receive it. In Jesus' mighty name. As you're standing on your feet, listen, I'm going to pray for you. As you're standing on your feet, just raise your hands to the Lord. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Just close your eyes. I need you to release me in the spirit so that I can pray for people. Don't be religious. Bible says, King David says, you have trained my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Christianity is a warfare. It's not a charity case. It is not a social club. It is a warfare. Christianity is a warfare. King David says, you have trained my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Jeremiah chapter number 51, I believe it is. It says that God says, you are my battle axe. With you, I will overtake nations. With you, I will trample upon the enemy. You are God's battle axe. Come on, guys, with me. And another place, the Bible says that mighty men were around David. And they were anointed with warfare. Some of them had faces like lions. These men were dangerous men. Some of them killed 1,000 people at a time when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. One man was standing at one place and he fought with a sword until his sword was stuck to his hand. Another man on a snowy day found it pleasing just to jump in a pit and kill a lion that was in the pit. These were dangerous people, but the anointing of warfare were upon them. The Bible says that they were swift as gazelles, which means that they were flowing like liquid between the enemy. When the anointing of warfare comes upon you, it's like the enemy cannot touch you because of the oil that is upon your life. Every time he wants to touch you, it's like he's slipping off. Because you are anointed and you are full of oil. Come on, guys, with me. May the anointing of warfare this night, I declare it upon your finances, upon your family, upon your business, and upon your ministry. I pray that you'll receive it this night, and tonight there'll be activation, impartation, that as you walk out of this place, that you know that you are anointed with warfare, that you are anointed to take on the enemy. I want you just to be hungry. Listen to me. The anointing can come on you if you're standing in the back or if you're standing in the front. It is about receiving and having an open heart. Let the anointing of warfare come upon you this night and you will see that the enemy is going to back off and pay you back 7 times more. But you need to say, I decree it and I declare it and I receive it. Zerando. Zanana, ziriya skoto, sabros katelede lebede marios katelede.